there will be a talk by Sheikh Salman Salman, and he will be doing right now, inshallah. Please give him a few minutes, inshallah. You can. Yeah. So Salman, Sheikh Salman, he will be doing the. Yeah, we'll be doing a talk right now, inshallah, for a few minutes. Thank you very much indeed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. قال ربنا تعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم فلما وضعتها قالت رب إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى صدق الله العظيم. I didn't actually intend to speak today because I had asked the brothers if we could postpone this simply because it's the night of Eid and my wife needs a lot of help. So, so I need to get home quickly, otherwise I'll be derelict to my own responsibility in my own house. So what I don't want to do is come here and talk about the importance of women while I'm not giving importance to my wife. Then I would be a hypocrite. So if you don't mind, I'm going to make it 5-10 minutes maximum. I'll say a few words for both the men and the women, inshallah, to take away. Now, women have a very special place in my heart because in my life I have been impacted by women in a very, very significant way. Firstly, the person who gave birth to me was a woman, as with all of us, my mother, from whom I learned how to love Allah. She had a lot of love, as mothers do. But because mothers can translate their love for their husband, for their children, for their relatives, they are, when they focus on loving Allah, they're able to translate that love to love for Allah. My sheikh once asked us, among all of my students, who do you think succeeds the most in being close to Allah? Because he's the sheikh of tazkiyah, the sheikh of purification of the heart. And he said, and he has thousands of students, maybe tens of thousands, and among all of these students across the world, from America to Australia, he has thousands and thousands of students. Of all of these people, which demographic succeeds the most in what we call ma'rifah, in having knowledge of Allah? In Arabic, there are two words for knowledge, two main words. One is ilm, and the other is ma'rifah. Ilm and ma'rifah. Now, ilm is mind knowledge. The knowledge that you learn, for example, if I memorize the Quran, this is ilm. If I memorize hadith, this is ilm. Ma'rifah is heart knowledge. It's the knowledge of the heart, which isn't acquired necessarily by reading books. It's acquired through keeping the company of people who have ma'rifah, from soaking up their hal. So when I'm with a pious person, sometimes a very pious person can just look at us and can translate, can give us a bit of their hal, and because of that we can then experience tawfiq in our own knowledge of Allah. This is called ma'rifah. And so he said, which demographic of people succeeds in ma'rifah? Not in ilm, because you will find across the world most people who have ilm, the ulama, they're mostly men, right? The shuyukh, the muftis, the maulanas, they're mostly men. So he's not asking about ilm, he's asking about ma'rifah. And we thought, I was a young man then, like in my 20s, I thought, maybe young men in their 20s. I was thinking, I hope it's me. And then when he said the answer, I was shocked. He said, women who have had children, not just any woman, women with children, women who have experienced childbirth. Why? Because those women know how to love unconditionally. Because even a woman's love for her husband is actually conditional. We all know that, right? We have to earn it. It's not the love our mother has for us is unconditional. But the love our wife has for us is partly contractual. Yes, it's emotional. It's very expensive in both money and deeds, which means I have to get home pretty quickly now. I have to pay for that love, right? But the love she has for her child is unconditional. It's absolutely unconditional. Allah has taught a woman how to love. And that's why women are so emotional. They have the emotional capacity to go through pain, to carry a child for 9 months, to give birth to that child, and then to rear that child. If you don't have that deep emotional capacity, you would not be able to do it, which is why Allah did not make men bear children. Right? So sometimes when we men, we complain our wife is too emotional. Remember, she needs that emotion to bear my children. She needs that for my children. So I shouldn't complain about her emotion. Right? I should be patient. Because Allah created her like that, with the capacity to be emotional. And so the first woman who had an impact on my life was, of course, my mother. And then I'm the second youngest child, and I'm sandwiched between four sisters. So I have a younger sister and then three older sisters, and my next brother is 12 years older than me. So I grew up playing with girls in my household. So this is the story of my life. And then I got married to a woman. So now my life partner is a woman. And Allah gave me three daughters, no sons. So in my household, I'm outnumbered. I'm the only man. Even our cat is female. So I'm the only representative of the male gender in my house. So I have a very soft spot for the women who have had so much impact on my life. I started off with a verse of the Quran, and I'm going to finish with it. And this verse to me is absolutely amazing. And we read this, we've heard this verse in Taraweeh. But we don't really understand sometimes exactly what's being said. The wife of Imran, the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, she bears a child. And she sees the signs that women normally see when they are bearing a prophet. The mothers of prophets, like the mother of Musa, the mother of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all the other prophets, Allah sent them signs while they're pregnant. They knew they're carrying something special. So the Imra'at Imran, the wife of Imran, she sees these signs and she dedicates, she consecrates her child, devotes it to Allah. She said, "Inni nadhartu laka ma fi batni." I promise to you what is in my tummy. She thinks this child is going to be a boy and he's going to be very special. He may be a prophet. She's expecting a boy. All the signs are there for a boy. Okay? And people, and we live in a society where, you know, when a woman is pregnant, everybody comes and says, even the women come and say, "Inshallah, it will be a boy." You know what I'm talking about, right? And some people look at me and say, "Salman miskeen, you have no boy. Who will carry your name?" Alhamdulillah, I don't feel bad about this because I'm promised Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Three daughters, alhamdulillah. Okay, so she promises to Allah this child. "Inni nadhartu laka ma fi batni muharraran fataqabbal minni." And he will be free. She will dedicate him to the masjid. Yeah? "Fataqabbal minni." She says, "Allah, accept him from me." "Innaka sami'u du'a." You hear my prayer. "Falamma wada'atha." When she gives birth to her, she is surprised. She says, "Rabbi inni wada'tuha untha." "Allah, my Lord, I've given birth to her, a girl." She doesn't say, "I've given birth to a girl." She says, "I've given birth to her, a girl." See how it's said? The way it's expressed in the Quran expresses her surprise. "I've given birth to her, a girl." Now, in that situation, she thinks he's going to be a boy. He's going to be special. Maybe he's going to be a prophet. In that situation, if she's saying the next line, which I'm going to tell you in a moment, you'd expect her to say, "I've given birth to a girl, and a girl is not like a boy." You'd expect her to say that, right? Because boys become prophets, boys are dedicated to the masjid, So she should say, we expect, I've given birth to a girl, and a girl is not like a boy. Is that what it says? And if that is what it said, men would use this until the Day of Judgment to say, men are superior to women. Because the Quran says, a girl is not like a boy. But the Quran says, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. A boy is not like a girl. It's flipped. Why? See, in that syntax, in that context, the person who is special is mentioned second. If you have two children, or anybody, and one is superior to the other, you'd say, so-and-so is not like so-and-so. Right? Right? The person who is better is mentioned second. And so, in this context, Allah is saying, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. Allah has given the untha something special, He has not given to the man. Of course, in other contexts, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ. Men are guardians, protectors of women. We have a special status, a special role. We are قَوَّام, which means we have to take that responsibility. We have to provide, we have to protect. But a woman has a different responsibility in which Allah has given her, in that capacity, more than a man. Because this girl was being prepared for childbirth, to give birth to one of the greatest men, and she would be one of the greatest women in human history. She was being prepared to give birth to Isa alayhi salam, to bring into the world a prophet, right? So as we know today, that when a child is born, when a girl is born, she is born with all of her eggs in her ovaries. You know this. So when you have a daughter, she is already carrying your grandchildren. So even when she was born, she was carrying the egg of Isa alayhi salam. We can expect, of course, we don't know how Allah created him, but if the biology was the same, that's what we would expect. So technically, her mother was carrying in her womb, within the womb of the fetus, the egg of the prophet that would be. If that is how Allah created, we don't know. I'm just surmising here. Okay? And so the signs of prophethood were there. But Allah interpolated this with a woman in between, and her name is Maryam, one of the greatest women who ever lived. And so I think this particular verse for me is very, very powerful, particularly because of all the women who've had such a strong impact in my life. And in all of our lives, we cannot deny. But also because it reminds me that Allah has not made men superior to women, or women superior to men, in absolute sense. We have some things which we have, which are capacity given to us by Allah, which gives us rights, yes, but also gives us responsibilities. Yeah, it's no good asking for those rights if we don't take the responsibilities. And often, in many situations where people come to me with marital disputes, unfortunately, people like me, we see things when they go wrong. People come to people like me. And what I often find is the men are constantly demanding their rights. And that's fine. Those rights are given by Allah. That's fine. But what I take the men aside and I say, look, you're asking for your rights and you deserve those rights. But look at your behavior and think about what you could have done better to take the responsibilities that Allah also gave you. And I'd say the same to the women. So when the women demand their rights, because it's not always one way, it's usually both ways, they should also take a step back and think, okay, I want these rights, but what could I have also done better? Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. I put it like that. I don't say, tell me what you did wrong. Nobody wants to admit they did something wrong. But if you say to them, think about it, what could you have done better? Then you get some answers, because now it's not confrontational. Yeah. So I think this is and I think about this to myself all the time. And right now the best thing I can do is stop and go home. And help my wife, and I advise you all to go home and also help you, because your wives are probably stressed cooking and ironing all the clothes for tomorrow, making sure the kids are ready, because you have to get up early for for the prayer and then go to visit relatives. So I'm going to release all of you. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Get me in trouble.